When I look back over my earliest memories, one event stands out above all the others. Most of my memories of school were of things like my annual reports that said I wasn't doing as well as expected, or I needed to try harder, or was pretty average at most things. But at the age of 11, all that changed forever. In the last week of term, for the first time ever, I came first at something. I won the first race of my life. It was the 800-yard walking race. Two laps round the track, and if you don't know the difference between walking and running, walking becomes running when you have both feet off the ground at the same time. That becomes running, and there, I was watching walkers to see if they're walking too fast. It becomes running. So in the walking race, one foot has got to be on the ground at any one time, and that remains walking. And for some reason, I had developed this natural skinny hip movement, which I lost when I got married, which is necessary to walk with speed. And for the next few days before term ended, I bathed in the glory of being a winner. At last, I was the best in my year at something, and it had been recognized, and I've still got the certificate to prove it. I got it out yesterday and had a look at it. I still remember the adrenaline surge of winning and the feel-good factor, at least for a few days. The disappointment was that term had ended that week, and therefore I couldn't go on. The need for recognition and affirmation is deep. It's universal. Everyone longs to be recognized for something. Recognition is actually good for us, for our emotional health. When our children were young, they'd say, "Watch me, Daddy, watch me." And it really didn't matter what they were doing, you had to watch. And it was wonderful to see them excel at something, even if it was riding a bike or something like holding a knife and fork. They need to be affirmed. And that need doesn't change when we grow up. It just gets more subtle when we fish for compliments. And we do it perhaps with the car we drive, with our clothing, with our homes. All the time, we may be saying, "Watch me, accept me, affirm me, appreciate me." That's because one of our deepest needs is to be affirmed and valued and recognized. And a healthy self-esteem develops when we find equilibrium between the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. It goes wrong when we major on the emotional or the physical without the spiritual, because ultimately we will only find security and be at peace with ourselves when we find our security in God and in a right relationship with Him. Because what He thinks about us is far more important than what other people think. If we rely solely on other people for our emotional stability, we will never be secure or fulfilled. Instead, we will remain immature and self-centered. When we're secure in our relationship with Him, we can grow up healthily into the unique people God intends us to be. We can excel. We can thrive on the way God has wired us and find a place of service within His family. We need never be average. The question this morning, as we continue this series of seeking God's answers to life's difficult problems, is how can I live above average? And we're going to find an answer in our short reading from the Old Testament. You may like to turn to it with me or look at the outline, because the verses are there on the outline which you may have received when you came in. But our short Old Testament reading, it's only really two verses, have probably sold more books per verse than any other in history. And if you're smiling, you know what I'm talking about. But it's also generated a good deal of controversy. The first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles consists of genealogies. It's the reason we don't tend to read this passage in great detail on Sundays or in our quiet times. There are 600 names mentioned in the genealogy of David. And right in the middle of all of these names, between Koz, the father of Anub, and Hazobedah, and Caleb, the father of Meher, we meet Jabez. He just appears out of nowhere. There's no mention of his father, who his father was. There's no mention of who his children were. He's just there. There's no praise given to anyone else in the genealogy except Jabez. Only Jabez is honored by God. God singles out one man for special recognition in these nine chapters, a man named Jabez. And he gets two verses in the entire Bible, and yet he has that mention has sold so many books in recent years. Let's look at the text first of all. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. The life of Jabez holds three simple abiding principles that, when applied, can, by God's grace, help you excel and live above average. The life that God intends for all his children. But before we do that, I need to give a spiritual health warning, because much of what's been written about the prayer of Jabez is actually unhelpful and at times pagan. It follows the mistranslation of the first verse, verse 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. It's not a good treatment of the Hebrew. It's better to see it as Jabez was more honored than his brothers. It's God who honors Jabez by answering his prayer. God didn't answer his prayer because he was more honorable. Do you see the difference? The initiative is from God, it's by God's grace, and so he is honored. He is blessed. Some writers, however, have suggested that if you pray this prayer enough times, God will bless you with physical health and material prosperity. And judging by the number of books sold, millions of people have hoped so. Let me give you an example from Bruce Wilkinson's book, The Prayer of Jabez. This is what he writes in the foreword and in the conclusion. Quote, "I want to teach you how to pray a daring prayer that God always answers. It is brief, but I believe it contains the key to a life of extraordinary favor with God. I challenge you to make the Jabez prayer for blessing part of the daily fabric of your life. Pray the Jabez prayer every morning and keep a record of your daily prayer by marking off the calendar or the chart you make especially for the purpose. Write out the prayer, tape it in your Bible, in your day timer, on your bathroom mirror, or some other place that will remind you of your vision. Read this little book once each week during the next month, asking God to show you important insights you may have missed. By the end of that time, you will be noticing significant changes in your life, and the prayer will be on its way to becoming a treasured, lifelong habit. The Jabez prayer distills God's powerful will for your future." Well, millions of people believe that, and have turned this obscure little prayer into a kind of a mantra, and I believe it's led many astray. Let me give you another illustration to make sense of this. To me, the claim that God will always answer this prayer is a bit like having a steak dinner with all the trimmings. You've got the steak, baked potato, there's corn, there's bread, all nutritional food. The problem is, for the final touch, the chef has sprinkled just a little rat poison over the plate. Would you still eat it? Well, it's 99% wholesome. And if you answer no, then why would we feed our spirit something that is only 99% wholesome, or even less than that? That's because prayer based on mindless repetition, which is common in pagan religions, is like rat poison. Let me give you one example from the Medicine Buddha Siddhanta. It's a little book that was given to thousands of people by the Dalai Lama in May 2001 at one of his empowerment workshops. This is what it says, and notice the similarities with what Bruce Wilkinson says. Quote, "To recite the Medicine Buddha mantra brings inconceivable merit. If you recite the mantra every day, the Buddhas will always pay attention to you and they will guide you. All your negative karmas will be pacified and you will never be born in the three lower realms. And all your wishes are fulfilled." Well, it sounds tempting, doesn't it? Who wouldn't want to recite a prayer that promises easy access to the divine, that will fulfill your dreams and satisfy your desires? But the fact is, God knows our infinite dreams, our finite dreams. He knows our human needs, and he knows that they fall far short of his wonderful plan for us. As we had read in the Beatitudes from Luke's Gospel, his rocky path to blessing will include hardships and humiliations and persecution. And he says that is the path of blessing. Therefore, knowing our wayward hearts, perhaps knowing that we would get screwed up by this kind of thinking, Jesus said, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard by their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you need before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Jesus is explaining how to pray. When Jesus said, in this manner, therefore, pray, he's saying, pray in this way because your Father already knows what you need. But notice that Jesus did not say, repeat after me, make sure you get it word for word, use this prayer daily for 30 days, stick it on your fridge and in your day timer, but make sure you say it word for word. That's the difference between confusing power in prayer and the power of God. There is a significant difference between the two. When anyone says to me, oh, I believe in the power of prayer, I worry because it has more in common with the pagan type of view of prayer than Christian prayer. We believe in a God of power who asks us to talk to him in simple language, in childlike conversation. Naturally, in this manner, Jesus said, use the Lord's Prayer, which is actually the disciples' prayer, as a model, not as a mantra. The Bible actually warns us on numerous occasions that God will not answer the prayer of Jabez. For example, David tells us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Solomon says in Proverbs, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. And the Apostle James says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures, you adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? So in prayer, motive is far more important than method. Our heart desire is far more important than the words we use. We cannot build a theology of prayer on one verse, a verse that merely tells us what someone prayed. If Jabez's prayer was indeed all that some authors claim, when Jesus was asked by his disciples how to pray, he'd have said, pray the prayer of Jabez. Jesus didn't. In fact, as we shall see, Christian prayer based on the teaching of the New Testament takes us way beyond the prayer of Jabez. Now, with that word of caution, let's discover the three principles we can apply from the example of Jabez. And the first principle of living above average is develop ambitious God-honoring goals. Develop ambitious God-honoring goals. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Jabez dreamed of something significant. He dreamed of doing something with his life, and he sought God's blessing to achieve it. There is a passion when he cried out to the God of Israel for blessing. He knew that only God could bless his life, and he asked for it. He asked for it with energy and with passion. So my question to you this morning is, what are you passionate about? What fires you up? What energizes you? What are you asking God for? If you don't have a dream, you're drifting. If you don't set yourself goals, you'll fulfill other people's. If you don't raise your expectations, you will never excel. And if you don't ask, you'll never receive. I started training in karate last term. Now, my aim is not to get a black belt. That is the secondary goal. The primary goal is to have a long and fruitful ministry serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that I will better honor him by being fitter and healthier than I am now. But at 54, I need a secondary goal, like a black belt, to help me get to my primary goal, which is to live a long life of fruitful ministry. Jabez prayed, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory." Now, I translate that into a prayer asking God to increase the number of people who hear about Jesus through our church website, enlarge the circulation of our Connection magazine, multiply the opportunities we have to share the love of Jesus with others. Grow your church, Lord, in Virginia Water, and bring your blessing of new life in Christ to more people through us. Is God going to answer that prayer? I believe he's going to. I believe that he's going to show us how we can be an answer to that prayer. That's what keeps me awake at night, thinking how we can reach more people with the gospel through our buildings, through our services, through our ministries, through our networks, through Connection, through the website. This, I believe, is a God-honoring Christian way of applying the prayer of Jabez, not to pray for more real estate. God never intended us to go through life with a complacent, satisfied, or half-hearted attitude. But neither does God intend us to be tossed about by every new idea or taken in by the latest quick-fix prayer formula. God wants us to develop to our full redemptive potential, and there is no substitute for a personal daily walk with him, crying out to him for his blessing upon ourselves, our families, and our church. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." Another translation of that says, "I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly." That is God's will for us, an abundant life, a fulfilled, challenging, fruitful, rewarding life. That's God's will. It's true that Paul said, "I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances." But earlier he said, "I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So, the first principle to living above average that we can learn from the example of Jabez is to develop ambitious, God-honoring goals. The second principle: nurture a simple, Christ-centered faith. He goes on, "Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." Not only did Jabez have great ambition, he also displays a deep trust in God. William Carey put it like this. He said, "Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God." Jabez knew his hope and security was found in God, not his abilities, not his possessions. Faith is far more important than talent or education. Now, it's tempting to speculate why Jabez prays to be kept free from pain, because in naming him Jabez rather than Jazeb, his mother inverts the word for pain, so his name was a kind of a pun, a play on words, on the word pain. Do you get it? Jabez may have caused his mother great pain in his birth. Jabez may have had some kind of handicap or disability. We don't know. But how would you feel if you were named Painful? Oh, here comes Painful. Oh, there's old Painful over there. Jabez, we don't know why, but he had the name, and it was a play on the word pain. Growing up, his name would have been a constant reminder of his past. But Jabez was stronger than that handicap. Regardless of his past, he had the faith to look ahead and trust that God would be with him, and that's what he asked for. I wonder whether you feel you have a handicap, whether it's physical or spiritual. Maybe it's an unhappy childhood. Maybe it's a frustrating job. Maybe it's a difficulty in your marriage. Whatever it may be, pray, "May your hand be with me," knowing that he identifies with you and you will draw your strength from the Savior, whose name is also associated with pain. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, each to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the one that the name of Jabez points to, the one whose name is also associated with pain, because Jesus took our pain in our place. He has reconciled us to God through his death, and by his Spirit he will indwell us by faith. And that's why the New Testament assures us that Jabez's prayer in that context is answered when we pray in faith. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can human beings do to me? Hebrews 13:5-6. If you want to live above average, like Jabez, develop ambitious, God-honoring goals. Nurture a simple, Christ-centered faith. And lastly, cultivate Spirit-led prayers. It was Jabez's spiritual and simple prayer that got an honorable mention in the Bible, and that's why we're still talking about him today. His prayer demonstrates three things that we can ask God for and expect him to answer. God's power. Oh, that you would bless me. Jabez specifically asked for a power greater than his own to accomplish his goals. He prayed, I want you to bless me. I want your power in my life. I invite you to pray that regularly. To ask God to help you wherever you're headed in your life. At first glance, his prayer may seem selfish. He prayed, I want you to do these things for me. But evidently God answered and approved of the prayer. Consider this. God dares us to ask for big requests. He can sift our motives. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. To pray our words appropriately. You can never out-ask God. You can never out-dream God. You can never stretch your imagination far enough to encompass all that God is. God's power. God's presence. Let your hand be with me. Jabez realized, if I do indeed receive more territory, that will be more responsibility. More responsibility requires more wisdom. So he asked God to be with him. When you ask for God's presence in your life, you can be sure he will answer. God's power, God's presence, and God's protection. Keep me from harm so that I may be free from pain. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong in praying a prayer like this. If you're a mother or a father, you will have experienced sitting at the bedside of a sick child, and I'm sure that you pray that the pain would go away for healing, maybe even for a miracle. We pray daily for forgiveness, for our daily needs, for deliverance from evil, for God's kingly rule to come on earth as it is in heaven. And you know what that means? It means God will rid us of all sickness, suffering, and death. Praying for these material things isn't wrong. These are the very petitions Christ has taught us to use. But we may have to wait for the answer ultimately. God's power, God's presence, God's protection. These are the things Jabez prayed for, and God answered his request. How about you? Are you tired of drifting through life, not knowing where you're going? How can I live above average? Do you want to see God work in your life in new ways? Do you want to see more answers to your prayers? If you want to live above average, then make this autumn a new beginning. Commit to being a full member of Christ Church, of Christ's church in this place. Take the membership challenge. Make space for a daily quiet time with the Lord every day. Come to every one of our new autumn Sunday sermon series in John's Gospel in the morning or Hebrews in the evening. Join one of our midweek small groups for teaching, fellowship, and prayer. Sign up for one of our Thursday night training courses. Find a place of service 1 hour a week. And give sacrificially to help us fulfill our vision, achieve our goals in the year ahead. Three ways we can learn from the prayer of Jabez. Develop ambitious God-honoring goals, nurture a simple Christ-centered faith, and cultivate spirit-led prayers. There were two toads sitting by the roadside. One toad prayed for a juicy grub, another toad prayed for a princess to kiss him back into a king. Although we ought to pray like the second toad, it's not really wrong to pray like the first, provided we remember that our deepest wish is not to be fattened, but to be transformed. The real breakthrough to a blessed life will come when we look beyond the good things that our nature teaches us to like, to the gracious things our nature teaches us to reject, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want God's very best for your life, if you want to live above average, then like Jabez, develop ambitious, God-honoring goals, nurture a growing Christ-centered faith, and cultivate spirit-led prayers. Then watch as God delights to answer our childlike prayers. Let's pray together.